Through the facilities of WHAM, the National Broadcasting Company takes pleasure in presenting another Stan Kenton concert in miniature, direct from Club 86 in Geneva, New York. We bring you Stan Kenton's music of contemporary design, a form of expression that is a reflection of the jazz idiom of America. We're sure you'll enjoy the vitality and fresh quality of this orchestra. And now once again, here is modern America's man of music, your conductor, Stan Kenton.
Thank you very much, Larry, man, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Stan Levy, for the role. Are you bothered about it? Everything is all right? Do you feel that the drum has been affected at all? Never mind the remarks. I'm talking from this end of the microphone. We are, in a sense, prepared here to develop this musical picture, and it really is a musical picture, too, because we have the negative here. That is, we have placed the microphones as though they were cameras in front of the orchestra. We have measured each saxophone player. His chair is marked with chalk. The trombone section is four of them seated. We found we could get a better sound if the bass trombone stood. That's George Roberts standing. Lean on that post, George. You'll be all right. In the back row, the trumpets. So all we have to do now is dip into the ingredients. And, of course, the ingredient this evening, the most important thing that has to do with the overture of this concert in miniature, has a thing that is rather demanding. That is, from an energy standpoint, we would like to create a great feeling of spirit here. And in order to have energy, we must have spirit and energy put into it. So, rhythm section, will you start creating energy? Here it is. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Taboo. Thank you. That was taboo to mention some of the fellows that participated here in an individual way. There's Dick Meldonian with an alto saxophone. Connie Condoli played trumpet. Frank Wassolino played the melody on the trombone. And at the rhythm section, the percussion portion of it was Stan Levy at the drums. You know, just as people learn to speak a language and talk to a different degree, different phrasings and so forth, different mannerisms that are personal, so is it true that musicians that play identically the same trumpet and study, we'll say, from identically the same teacher and belong to the same school of music, so are they different. After a young man knows how to play his horn, masters the thing technically, we'll say, learns the academics, then he begins to worry about how will he express himself as an individual with a trumpet. I say that in connection with this next chap because if ever there has been or ever will be an individual in our field of music, it's this guy, Connie Condoli. Being an individual, a composition written for the individual that expresses him, his feeling for his instrument, and his particular conception in this field of music called jazz, Bill Russo created a thing that it serves well. It's a thing called Portrait of a Count. Connie, step in. Connie Condoli with a trumpet. The expressing once more the composition that is going to mean so much to him and be so directly and closely associated with the guy in his horn, the thing called A Portrait of a Count. I think that in the popular field of music today, you open Billboard magazine and you see the first 10. Variety has a first 10. Each recording company has what they believe to be their top-selling 10. And we, even though we create original music in this field of jazz, have what we currently feel is our top 10, too. We won't go into all 10 of them, but we'll pick one at the moment that is currently right at the top of the list. It's a rather modern type of instrumental for a large orchestra written by Jerry Mulligan, the guy that wrote so much for Miles Davis and the group. I'm sure if you listen closely, you'll hear some of the Miles sounds here, done in a big band way. Nevertheless, here's Jerry Mulligan's composition written for this orchestra thing that's called Young Blood. I Must Count. Young Blood. Speaking of Young Blood, I won't at the moment introduce this chap because some weeks back on a concert in miniature, I did introduce him. He spoke a little bit about his horn and so forth, but you know, it takes quite a veteran in the business after he's been around, made a lot of phonograph records after a long period of time to look at a microphone and say, you don't scare me a bit. And sometimes these devices that actually are pretty cold looking instruments reflect a great deal of anxiety. I'm speaking to George Roberts at the moment. George, I'd like to tell you about something that happened once with me that probably I never told you. But some years back, I was playing piano in an orchestra led by a guy by the name of Vito Musso, a tenor saxophone player, and we were on the West Coast. I'm speaking now about a microphone, what it could mean to you. And This disc jockey at the time, Al Jarvis, who was greatly interested in the orchestra, decided he'd like to have the whole band up on his radio program to introduce each of the musicians. So we were all there lined up. I think there was a saxophone player, a trombone player, a drummer, and so forth. And in about fourth or fifth place stood Stanley Kenton, the piano player, and Al went by introducing each fellow, and each fellow would come up and say hello and how do you do, and then he'd step out of the road, and the next fellow would come up. And finally, George Jarvis said, now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to meet the piano player, Stanley Kenton. Step in and say hello, Stanley. And I stepped to the microphone, and suddenly the microphone took on the proportions of a monster. I stood there about 5 seconds, didn't utter a sound, and finally said, thank you very much, Stanley. Now we'll introduce the trombone player. And I want you to know that I don't want you to worry about this microphone tonight because this is only your second appearance. You have 16 bars in which you don't do anything but just stand here and worry. That is your introduction.
Thank you, sir.
Following the introduction, you play 16 bars on your trombone, and then you don't have to worry for 16 bars again because the orchestra plays, and then you have to worry for 16 bars more. What am I worried about? George, here's your Stella by Starlight. George Roberts. Thank you. That was George Roberts with his bass trombone, the guy that blows the bottom sounds in the brass section along with the baritone saxophone and the saxophone section. Last week, toward the end of concert in miniature, we embarked upon a thing that sometimes, you know, you offend people when you start a number and you're not able to finish it because it might be their favorite number. And they say, why couldn't that have been in the first spot and what was in the first spot at the last spot? So we're going to endeavor to apologize, musically speaking, to the people last week that we offended on the nose. Here, ladies and gentlemen, is the peanut vendor. Step in here again. You know, it looks like I've offended a lot of people all over again. Okay. You think you could do anything about passing things up? Well, we started the peanut vendor. We're one moment and a half into it, and it's your turn to talk, Larry.
Well, maybe next time we'll catch up, huh?
Talk.
Concept in American jazz. Our broadcast tonight came to you direct from Club 86 in Geneva, New York, through the facilities of WHAM in Rochester. Join us next week at the same time for another Stan Kenton Concerts in Miniature with Modern America's Man of Music. This is Larry Mann speaking. Company.